You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Praise God. Well, let's take a minute and give Jesus a hand of praise this morning. If you love him, praise God. Just lift those hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you once again for your anointing. We thank you for the power that's on the inside of us that you've deposited there. We expect this week to be a week that yokes are broken, chains fall off. We thank you that you're turning every prayer request to a praise report this week. In Jesus' name, we expect great things. We know that you're the God that can do anything, and the impossible is easy for you. And so we thank you, Lord. We give you glory and we give you honor. If you believe it, somebody shout aloud, amen.
Yes.
Amen. Listen, if you appreciate this worship team, would you give them a hand? Tell them you love them today. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm so excited and happy to be back with you. And this is going to be a great week. My wife and I and my kids, we just flew back. Yesterday, we were in Atlanta, Georgia for last week, had a revival every day, and we've been going nonstop. One of the things that's exciting, you know, when you pray, you better be ready for God to answer those prayers. And, you know, I started praying, God, give us supernatural momentum. Let us go like nonstop. Well, let me tell you, he opened the doors, and we've been going like nonstop. And just in the first quarter of this year, we've been over to Alaska, to Saskatchewan, Canada, South Africa, up and down the East Coast. Friday, I leave for Brazil for 8 days of preaching. And I'm just telling you, God just keeps opening the doors. And it's powerful to see what he's doing around the world. One of the things that's exciting is that everywhere we go, we're seeing the hunger of people for the presence of God. I don't believe the lie that everybody's saying, you know, this is not a generation where people are hungry for God. Everywhere I'm going, I'm seeing hunger by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I think what really people are focusing on is that, you know, this generation is not interested in, you know, dead, dry, liturgical religion. But in the moving of the Holy Ghost is a whole different story. And when people see the reality of the power of God, they want it. You know, it's interesting because we are created as supernatural beings. Whether people are saved or unsaved, they're supernatural. They're eternal beings. They'll either spend eternity in heaven or hell. But one of the things you've got to realize is that because we are supernatural beings, God has built within us a desire for the supernatural. That's why I was reading a statistic not long ago. One of the things that kind of surprised me a little bit was that over the last few Christmases even, one of the top gifts that is purchased at Christmas time is Ouija boards. And I thought, see, that's interesting that people are interested in the supernatural, whether they're saved or not, they have an interest. That's why Hollywood continues to release movies that have a supernatural bent to them. Even if you scroll your Netflix feed right now, how many of these shows are coming out that have a supernatural tilt to them? Why? Because even these producers know that people have an interest in the supernatural and that they want to know what's going on behind the scenes. And that's because God created us as supernatural beings. And everywhere we've been, when people see the supernatural power of God, I told them the first service, we've been seeing kids even, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 years old, crying at the altar of God, receiving the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, changed by the power of God. That's the generation we're living in, hungry for the things of God. And this week's going to be no different. Can you say amen? This is going to be a week of God's presence in manifestation. And I want to encourage you to get your faith ready to receive something good from the Lord, because when he comes together with us, he always does something good. Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's right there in the midst. So one thing you can be sure of, as we come together, he's already here moving. One of the things you'll know about Jesus, he can't show up somewhere without doing something good. Everywhere he was throughout the Gospels, he was always performing miracles. So I want to encourage you, Get your faith ready this week for miracles to take place. God has a plan to bless your family. Can you say amen? And it's just continued to increase. And if how many were here in the first service? Lift your hand. I know a lot of the people that were serving were here first service. One of the exciting things that's recently happened is that my wife and I had been praying that God would open the doors so that we could touch the nations of the world with the gospel. And last year, the doors began to open for us. And at first, it started in the Caribbean islands. And a man I met with that owns a television station that covers every island of the Caribbean, 39 million souls. You know, I started doing this, a side note. I started doing a little study on this when I was in Canada a couple weeks ago. I was in Saskatchewan up in the middle of nowhere, and I was preaching. And I thought, man, 39 million souls doesn't sound like a lot. But I started studying that. You know, more people live in the Caribbean islands than in the nation of Canada, which is crazy. I tell people Canada started a country and no one came. Anyway, but 39 million souls covered in the Caribbean islands. And then a friend of mine called me. He said, I just built a TV station here in India, and I want you to come on. It covers 40 million homes in India. And then another man called me. And he said, I've got a network here that covers 50 million homes on the continent of Africa, the whole continent, every nation. And it also covers 18 plus million homes in the UK and now 13 plus million homes in the US. So before this year comes to an end, we will be touching 120 plus million homes on four continents of this earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God just began to open the doors. It's exciting. And then it's amazing how God works. The Holy Spirit, He is a teacher, the Bible says. And for those of you, if you didn't know, today is Pentecost Sunday. We're actually celebrating the Holy Spirit sent to the church in the book of Acts 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what today is. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher. He teaches us all things, the Bible says. He leads us, guides us into all truth. And I'll give you a cool testimony is that we had a precious lady come to one of our services, and she sowed a seed last year. And the Lord spoke to her to give her engagement ring. And she gave the engagement ring as a seed of faith. Well, I had called her out, began to prophesy to her. Power of God hit her. She went home. Her husband's a phenomenal builder, builds cabinets, rebuilds kitchens, does an amazing job. She does the accounting work for their home-based business. And the Lord anointed her mind. This is one of the coolest testimonies I've ever heard. She said, I have no training. I have no college training about this. I've never done any personal study or training on this. She said, but I sat down at my computer and the Lord began to anoint my mind. And I started to just have a supernatural understanding of the stock market. And she said, I started hearing these letters in my spirit. And when I would look it up, they were actually the call letters for the corporations that were publicly traded. And she said, the Lord would begin to tell me, buy this one, sell this one. And she said, I just started going. And she said, with no training, with nothing I'd done previously, the Holy Spirit taught me how to trade in the stock market. She said, I started making a little bit of money, making a little bit here, making a little bit there. She said, then I set myself a personal goal to start making $1,000 a week. And she said, do you know that goal was met by the Holy Ghost? I started making $1,000 a week. I saw recently, she said, the Lord just gave me my first $2,600 week on the stock market. And I mean, the Holy Ghost just taught her what she did not know. And the power of God came on. And then an amazing testimony is that she then contacted my wife and I. And she said, I felt the anointing hit me when you started telling about reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she said, the Lord revealed to me almost my purpose of how He's using me like this. She said, tell me, how much does it cost to reach on one of those networks? She said, just tell me one of the networks. I said, well, sister, it's going to be like this many thousands of dollars a year. She said, the Lord already spoke to me. We're going to sow that amount of money each year and cover one of those television stations completely to send the gospel around the world. Isn't that powerful? God is going to bless you to be a blessing. Can you say amen? The blessing of Abraham, I love it. It belongs to us as believers, according to Paul. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, the Bible says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are blessed to be a blessing to this earth. That's not just a cliche thing we say. Blessed to be a blessing, brother. Hallelujah. Blessed to be. No, you literally are going to be lifted head and shoulders above the normal so that you walk in the excess and the overflow so that you'll be an asset to this generation, not a liability. You'll not just pay your bills, you'll pay somebody else's bills. You'll not just feed your children, you'll feed somebody else's children in Jesus' name. You'll not just take care of Christmas for your family, you'll provide Christmas for somebody else's family. You are blessed to be a blessing. Can you say amen? And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to steadily increase until the return of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 4 and verse 18. And the Bible says, the path of the just. Somebody shout, that's me. The path of the just is a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So that shows you God's plan for you is that your path gets brighter and brighter and brighter until Jesus comes. It's not an up year, then a down year, going through blessings and then into crisis. No, God's calling you to go from victory to victory, from grace unto grace, from favor unto favor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? From faith unto faith. His desire is that we increase. That's the plan of God. How does he take us into supernatural increase? He does it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to write this verse of scripture down. It will help you. It's helped me. It's to show you how the Holy Spirit can work with us. It's Isaiah 48. And it's one verse of scripture, verse 17. This is one of the greatest. I love this. It stirs my faith every time I read it. The Bible says God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Look what he said, Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and leads you in the way you should go. You see that? So there's a way you could go and there's a way you should go. I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to what? To what? Prophet. Not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, like prophesy, but to profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, to have gain, to increase. I'm the Lord your God that teaches you to profit and leads you in the way you should go. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord when he delights in his way. So when we delight in the way of God, the instructions of God, then the increase of heaven comes upon our lives. It is the Holy Ghost who teaches us where to go, how to go. And when we obey those instructions, it is now profitable to our lives. You know what I love? Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, and I believe it's verse 8, where it says, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, holding promise in this life and the life to come. You know, when I was growing up in church, you know, we used to sing all those hymns, and it seemed like those hymns always pushed the promise off till heaven. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? You know, and we used to always sing, and we pushed the blessing. I've got a mansion just over the hilltops in that bright land where we'll never grow. It's always like we're going to struggle here, but there it'll be wonderful. But that's not what Paul taught Timothy. He said, if you're godly, if you walk in godliness, it has promise not only in the life to come, but in this life. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask Abraham. Abraham was under an old covenant. Now, was he waiting till eternity to be blessed, or was he blessed? Was he blessed? In fact, the Bible says the man Abraham became very rich in gold, silver, livestock. Do you know his son Isaac got so blessed that the king of the nation he was living in showed up at his house, knocked on the door, said, hey, will you do me a favor? Could you just take you and all your people and everything you own and just move to another place because you've become too mighty for us? That's serious blessing. I can't imagine Donald Trump showing up at my house and saying, hey, listen, could you take you and your family and everything you own and just move to another country because you've become too blessed for America? That's what happened to Isaac. The king showed up and said, please, you know what he was really saying? You're so blessed that your blessing is devaluing our currency. I mean, you know, Solomon. Did Solomon wait till eternity to get blessed, or was he blessed now? To the point, the queen of Sheba, who said, I heard about his blessing. It can't be that great. Somebody exaggerated it. So she put together a caravan and all her stuff, and she came riding down the road and her with all her servants and her gold, and she was going to impress Solomon about I'm going to show him what blessing really looks like. And she came up to where he was, and she came onto his property, and when she came on, she saw servants taking out the trash in escalades. And she was like, what in the world? They got trash in the Bible says she came into his outer courts, and when she just saw the blessing level of his servants, she fell out. She fainted. The Bible said, and her spirit left her. She fainted. She fell out. She didn't see Solomon's blessing. She saw the servants of Solomon's blessing, and it was so great she couldn't believe it. Was that in eternity, or was that in the now? And let me tell y'all something, that was an old covenant. But the book of Hebrews says that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. And the Bible says when you live a life of godliness, it doesn't just hold profit in the life to come, but in this life. Somebody shout, I'll be blessed. Not just in heaven, but now. And the Holy Ghost leads you. That's what I love about David. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One translation said, I will not lack. But see, all that is predicated upon one fact, the Lord's my shepherd. There's a lot of people that want the blessing, don't want a shepherd. Oh, we live in a generation where people don't want to be instructed. People don't want to be corrected. Who you think you're talking to? You only God can judge me. Huh? People don't want to be instructed. People don't want to be corrected. But when you start to realize correction is amazing. Correction is something that's cutting off all the excess and taking me quickly to my destination where I want to go. See, because your destination is where the blessing is. See, God's got a blessing set aside for you. And when he gives you instructions and when he brings you corrections, it's not to manipulate you. It's not to hurt you. It's to take you into your blessing the quickest way possible. It's funny because we understand this in the natural, but we get weird about it in the supernatural. Nobody puts Google Maps on their phone and then turns on where they want to go if they don't know how to get there. And when the voice comes over the car, turn right. Who you think you're talking to? I know what I'm doing. You don't need to tell me. You don't know me. You don't know my life. You don't know where I came from, Siri. Nobody gets mad and tells off their phone and tells off Google Maps because it gave you an instruction, because we understand we want to get somewhere. We're headed to dinner. I don't know where the restaurant is, but my stomach is growling. And I know if I could just get there, I could get what I want. So I need an instruction because I don't want delay. I don't want to be held back. I don't want to sit in traffic while everybody else is going and I went the wrong way. I want to get there as quick as I can get there. And the way to do it is to get turn by turn navigation to where I'm going. That's what an instruction from the Holy Ghost is. It's turn by turn navigation to take me into my blessing. And he said, I'm the Lord your God that leads you in the way you should go and teaches you to prophet. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I love the Holy Ghost. He's not weird either, like some people have made him weird. He ain't a cloud. He's not a bird. Amen. He ain't gold dust on your hand. He's a person. The Bible says he has feelings. He can be grieved or he can be made happy. I don't want to grieve him. I want to please him. Because when he's pleased with my life, then the blessings can flow. But if my life is displeasing, see, that's a trick of the enemy, is to allow your life to get to a place where you stop following instructions and think you can go your own way. See, I've had that in my own. I mean, I remember when I first had children, you know, the very first time. I got three kids now. They'll be here tonight. We just flew back. They lost all our baggage. We had to get back. They canceled everything yesterday. Their weather coming across the East Coast, Midwest, all flights delayed, canceled. I thought, my God, I'm just trying to get south. I was in Atlanta. I said, I'm just trying to get south. They sent me to St. Louis to get back to Fort Lauderdale. I said, my bags better be on. And the bags weren't on the plane. All the bags gone. So that Carolyn's home waiting for the bags to come. But they'll be here tonight. But I remember when my first daughter was born, Madeline. Now I have Brooklyn and Teddy the third. He's running around like, I mean, he's a wild man. You see, he's a big old guy now. He's a big, big boy. I mean, for three, he's very tall. And I'll watch him. He's a ruffian. You know, you got to keep your eye on them, boy. I wasn't used to having a boy in the house. I started with the girls. It was very soft and sweet and sentimental and emotional in my house. Huh? We had plenty of estrogen and no testosterone. Now. Just me. It was three girls against me. And I'd come out of the room. And my living room would look like the beaches of Normandy with naked Barbies just strewn everywhere like the Germans had attacked. And I was just used to crying and kissing. Oh, it's okay. Did your feelings get hurt? Are you okay? Then a boy came. And it was like I wasn't used to being punched in the stomach for no reason. It's like just a little guy running there. It's just pow. It's like, what was that about? You're in my chair. Oh, really? Didn't realize you paid the mortgage. Anyway. Go pick him up from nurseries across America. He's like rolling dice with other babies in the corner. But when I had my first daughter, she got really into the Disney princesses. And it was Christmas coming. And she really wanted this princess castle, Disney princess castle. We went and got it at Walmart. I came back. And, you know, being a man, I'm a man. I opened up that box because it's Christmas Eve. Kids don't want to have to wait for dad to assemble the toy on Christmas Day. I wanted to have it ready to go so she could just start playing. And I'm a man. So I opened that box. There's like 320 pieces. It doesn't come assembled. You got to assemble it. Opened it and there's an instruction manual 50 pages thick. Like any man would do, I threw it over my shoulder. Who needs that? I can figure this out myself. I can do it while I'm tweeting, texting, and making a frozen pizza in the oven. I don't need help. And then I got the thing and I worked on it for about an hour. I'm sitting there putting all the pieces together. Finally, it looks completed, except there's like 40 leftover pieces and none of the songs turn on and the lights don't work in the castle. And I'm already frustrated. And while I'm pointing my 12 gauge shotgun at the castle, ready to blow it away, my wife comes in. She says, hey, as only wives can do, maybe you'd like to look at the instructions. And I realized in that moment, I said, how many people's life is in pieces because they won't look at the instructions, because they won't read an instruction or hear an instruction from heaven, and they got things that the lights won't turn on, and they got issues that things aren't going together the way they should. Things are in pieces, relationships broken up because they won't read the instruction or hear an instruction. And the devil has worked hard to try to keep us out of an instruction from the Holy Ghost. He's tried to put pride and rebellion into a generation so that we push back on what the Holy Ghost is saying. In fact, let me give you something. The devil hates fathers, and the devil has come against fathers in our generation because, see, he wants us to think about a father in a certain way. He wants us to have a preconceived idea about what a father is, so that when we hear father, we say, oh yeah, we know what that is. That's a guy that leaves, never comes to any of your basketball games, never comes to any football games, goes out for cigarettes on Christmas Eve, never comes back again. Mom has to hire a private investigator. He can't even be found to pay child support. I know what a father is, a deadbeat, somebody who leaves you, doesn't want you, never comes back, doesn't love you. That's what the devil wants us to think a father is, so that when it comes time for us to have to interact with a heavenly father, we can't have a proper view of what a father relationship is. So the devil, because he can't touch the heavenly father, he's trying to touch the earthly fathers and remove them from the homes. But there's an anointing coming back to this nation again, and fathers are coming back to the children, and children coming back to the fathers, and a revival is going to start in the home, and God's bringing families back together again, because a new generation is about to rise up in the strength and power of the Holy Ghost. If you believe it, can you shout amen? And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us turn by turn navigation. Shows us where to go, how to do it, and brings us the ability to increase. It's amazing. The Holy Ghost brings a new beginning. I was thinking of this on the way driving here today. God just kind of dropped it into my spirit. That when God decided to flood the earth in judgment in Noah's day, the Bible says Noah and his family got on the ark and they were floating 40 days and 40 nights. It rained, but then they were on the ark longer than that as the waters were receding. And finally the ark, they were looking for land, looking for a place where they could finally start over again. And he opened the top of the ark and released a dove. And finally, when he released the dove never came back, signifying a new season has begun. You can exit the ark and begin a new life. And they got out and sacrificed unto God and began to repopulate the earth. He released the dove and the dove never came back. And for thousands of years, the dove never came back. And then Jesus was in the Jordan River, baptized by John. And when he came up out of the water, the dove came back. And the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Another new beginning was about to happen. In the first one, it was a natural new beginning to start life again. But in the second one, it was a supernatural new beginning that a spiritual life was getting ready to happen again. And the Messiah was anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost, which took him from being like a natural man to a supernatural man. Because for 30 years of his life, he never performed one miracle. He was the Son of God from birth, but never performed one miracle until he got filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And when he did, he went over to a wedding in Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2, and they needed wine, but all that was left was water. And the Bible says his mother, who believed in him, who, by the way, Nike owes her a lot of money because she was the first one to say, just do it. And the servant said, what are we supposed to do? He said, whatever he says to you, just do it. And see, there's some royalties that need to be paid back to the church here. But I hope you're listening to me, Nike. But and the Bible says they filled the water pots with water. How many did they fill? Six. Six water pots were filled with water. Six is the number of man. And see, with man, it's impossible. And the six water pots, they could have brought them to the master of the feast, but see, they needed a seventh. And so there was actually a seventh water pot in the wedding that day. His name is Jesus. He is the living water. And the seventh water pot stepped up and anointed the other six, bringing God's perfection. And when they took it to the master of the feast, he said, what in the world have y'all done? Usually we put the best out first. And when everybody is drunk and dancing on the tables with their shirt over their head, then we bring out the grape Kool-Aid. But you have saved the best until last. And I'm telling you, when the power of the Holy Ghost gets moving in your family, God is saving the best for last. Don't think your best days are behind you. Don't think the best days boundaries are gone. God's getting ready to do something new in your family, in your body, in this church, and the best days are just ahead. I don't know if you hear me preaching, but I'm telling you, get ready for the increase of heaven on your life. If you believe it, shout amen. The best days are just ahead. Not behind, just ahead. The Holy Ghost is the greatest gift that was ever sent to earth besides Jesus Christ. Nothing greater than Christ and the Holy Spirit of God that was sent to us. You know what's interesting? I mean, think of all the amazing stuff that happened in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit just stopped by and hung out for a few minutes, pow, touched you and left again. Because he couldn't live in them. As Jesus said, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. So all those amazing things you saw happen only happen because the Holy Spirit just stopped by, tapped them, and went on about his business. But on the day of Pentecost, it all changed. For the Bible says they were assembled together in the upper room and they heard a sound from heaven. They'd already been transformed into new wine skins when Jesus Christ was resurrected. And the power of his blood turned them from old school natural men into new creation. They were ready to receive something new. What good is it to be a recreated vessel if you're not going to hold anything? What good is it to be a recreated vessel if you're not filled with anything? So he made them new wine skins and then stuck them under the spout of heaven and began to pour. And they heard a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And the Bible says cloven tongues as a fire began to sit upon their heads. And they all began to speak with other tongues as they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to catch this morning before I pray for you, is that the first thing they did was heard it before they saw it. See, here's the thing. If you can hear it before you see it. See, that's what the Holy Ghost and his instruction is all about, is that I can't see the restaurant yet, but I can hear the next turn. I can't smell the food yet, but I can hear the next turn. I'm on my way to where I'm going. I haven't got there yet, but I'm on my way to my blessing, and I can hear the next instruction. I might not see that thing yet. I see, think about it. Elijah's on top of the mountain. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. Go look toward the sea, and the servant comes back. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. But he's hearing something. See, he's hearing the next thing. He's hearing the next thing. But the servant, I don't see anything. I don't see. Seven times. Go back and look again. Go back and look again. Go back and look again. And there's people that the devil will try to attach to your life, that as you're standing in faith and believing and saying, this thing's about to blow up. I'm going to another level. My blessing is on the way. There'll be people that'll show up at the right moment and say, well, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. And you got to be big enough in the Holy Ghost to tell them, go back and look again. Go back and look again. For I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. There's something getting ready to hit Hope United that's bigger than you've ever seen. And you better be ready to run with momentum in the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. I hear the sound. You'll hear it before you see it. And that's why the enemy doesn't want us to hear an instruction from the Lord. Because if he can get you to ignore the instruction, you'll miss out on the destination. Nobody. See, I'll give you one more encouragement. Don't get discouraged halfway there. If you decided, I tell this to people up north because you can't hardly get down south from those places anymore without a layover. You get on a plane, they always got you going somewhere. I tell them this, if you got your family together to take them to Disney World and you're leaving from Boston, Massachusetts. I said, nobody in their right mind gets off the plane in Charlotte, North Carolina, starts chest bumping and high-fiving. We're here. No, don't stop halfway to where you're going. The devil would love to get you to stop where the layover is and say, this is good enough. But ain't no Mickey Mouse in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's no rides. There ain't no Disney World there. And see, God's got something better for you, but the devil would have you stop halfway to where you're going and say, this is good enough. But don't ever let what the world defines as good enough be good enough for you. Well, I've actually had people tell me, they say, well, I didn't come up to be prayed for because, you know, what I'm dealing with is not as serious as what somebody else has. And, you know, they're dealing with cancer and they need a miracle. And I didn't want to come up and bother the Lord with my little thing because I just know he can give me the strength to live with it. And that's what the devil would try to convince you of, is that, listen, your story is an issue, but it's not as bad as somebody else's. So just learn to just live with what you got going on. And I hear the Lord saying, don't stop halfway on the way to your destination, because I've got a blessing for you that's bigger than where you are right now. Don't let the enemy stop you in the midst of your miracle, because something is about to turn around for your family and turn around for your house. This is your day of victory in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to stand on your feet all over this house. Lift your hands to the Lord. He loves you today. He cares for you today. This is going to be a week of impartation. We're going to receive something good from the Lord. I want you to say by faith, this is my week to receive a blessing. It's my week for increase. You know what I'm praying for you? I've been asking the Lord, God, whatever has been harassing their life before today, let this be the last day in Jesus' name. I'm praying those things fall off, just like chains fell off Paul and Silas when they prayed and sang praises unto God. Those things just fell off. Doors just swung open. I'm praying that that'll be your story this week. Maybe you've been battling in your mind. Enemies attacked you with depression, anxiety, panic attacks, suicidal thoughts. It's coming to an end in Jesus' name. Maybe you've been attacked physically. Sickness, disease, issues in your physical body. There's healing for you from the presence of the Lord. I'm asking the Lord, let this be the final day of harassment against your life. Maybe you've been believing God for a legal situation to turn around. I just had a great testimony come in, a woman that's been believing to gain custody of a child whose parents were abusive, drug addicted. And she's related to the family, but she's been claiming that child is not going to go that direction. And the judge just ruled in her favor. I'm telling you, stories of families are turning in Jesus' name. That's why I'm encouraging you, don't miss one service this week, because I don't know what God's going to do, but it's going to be good. And every service is different. And the Holy Spirit has a plan for every individual time we come together. It's vital that we catch what God has this week. I want every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. Maybe you're in this church right now, and you know that if Jesus were to come back, that you're not ready to see him when he comes. There are things in your life that are not right, holding you back from serving God. One of the things that's so important to understand, and I want you to hear me, is that Jesus Christ is coming soon. We'll not see any signs for the rapture. It's a signless coming, the Bible says. Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. That's what the Bible said. There's no thief that leaves you a note and tells you when he's coming to take your flat screen. He just shows up when you're not expecting him and takes. That's how Jesus is coming. The world won't expect him, but they'll wake up and we'll be gone. But we're already seeing signs for his second coming, which is years later. If we're seeing signs for that already, how much closer are we to the rapture of the church? And you understand that that day is coming so soon. We're living on borrowed time. And there are people that aren't ready to see Jesus when he comes. If he came, they couldn't look him in the eye. They aren't ready. He's not their Lord. He's not their Savior. Heaven is not their home. Listen to me. Eternity is too long of a time to miss out because of some sin that's holding you back in life. There's no sex worth losing eternity over. There's no drug, nothing you can steal, nothing you can do that's worth losing eternity over. The Bible says sin has pleasure for a season, but the end is death. If you're in this church today and you don't know whether or not you're ready for heaven, you hear me preach to you that Jesus is coming. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Even if there's only one person, I don't want to miss you, because this is life or death. And Jesus is coming soon. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, "Preacher, that is me. There are things in my life that I'm not sure if Jesus came today that I'd be ready to see him. I know that my life needs a change, needs to turn around. I need to serve the Lord." Well, if that's you, I'm going to pray with you today. You say, "Preacher, I want to pray with you. I need to pray that prayer. I need my life to be turned around today." Wherever you are, I want you to lift your hand and raise it. Raise it. Wave it at me. I'm going to pray with you. I see it there, 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 there. Who else? Don't miss it. There. I see it there in the back. Who else? There on the side. There, right there. Who else? This is your day. All things to be made new. See, this is going to be a week of miracles, but the blessings of God are reserved for the children of God. We have to know that we are right with God. We have to live ready to see him. Wherever you are, you should wave that hand at me. We're going to pray in just a moment. I see it there. See it there. Over here. I'm seeing you. In the back, I see you. And you too. Here's what I want you to do, because the Bible says this. Jesus actually said it. He said, "If you confess me in front of men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me in front of men, I'll deny you before my Father." This is so important. If you can't live for Jesus in a room full of people that want you to, you'll never do it in a world full of people that don't want you to. And so I want to ask you, if you raise that hand, take a step of faith and come stand with me at God's altar today. Quickly get out of your seat now and come. Come on, come on, come on. Come stand with me right here. Let's pray. Come. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Come on, come on, family. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come stay, come stay. We do have, we're streaming, but it's all right. It's all right. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Praise God. Every head bowed. People are still coming. If you need to be at God's altar, come now. Jesus is calling. I always tell people this. If Jesus is calling you, don't hit the red decline button on the call, but answer the call, because he may not call again. We don't know when he's coming. We got to be ready when he does come. 10 more seconds. If you need to be at God's altar, this is the time. This is the most important decision any person could ever make in their life. God loves you enough. He's given you time, opportunities, calling you, calling you. Amen. Every head bowed. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. The Bible says when we pray this prayer, all things are made new. And some people can't believe that that's true. They say, "How could it be that easy?" It's because God loves you so much, he made it that easy. It's not a 21-step process. It's faith in what Jesus already did. So with every head bowed, I want you to repeat this with me. Say it with a bold voice. Let the Lord know you mean business today. Say, "Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. And I'm asking you now, forgive me of my sin, make me new, give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life until I die or until you come. Right now, I confess Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart you raised him from the dead. You said that if I would do those two things, I would be saved. So now I declare, I am a child of God. All things are made new. The old life is gone." Now say this by faith. Say, "Devil, I'm done with you. Done with an old way of living. From this day forward, I belong to Jesus. Take your hands off my life. You are trespassing on God's property. I belong to Christ. Now lift your hands and thank the Lord. Father, I thank you for every new brother and sister in Christ. Thank you for new family members. I pray that you'd strengthen every one of them to live for you unashamed. I pray, Lord, that you would protect them from harm and danger. I pray you fill them with the power of your Spirit. Make them a witness. Lord, whatever's tried to come against their life to destroy them, I pray it comes to an end today in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we will see you very soon. But until we do, make us impactful workers for your kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. If you believe that, somebody shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Now everybody lift your hands and let me pray a blessing over every one of God's people. Father, I pray today as we close this service that whatever was coming against your precious people, that today you would blow your breath from heaven and blow it out of the way. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered in Jesus' name. So now I command depression to go. I command anxiety and panic attacks and suicidal thoughts to go. I command sickness and disease to go. Every attack against our family members is broken. Lord, mend and heal relationships today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that it is done in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Listen, before you return to your seat, I want Pastor Josh to come and just give you a little bit of instruction. We want to pray for you personally and let you know you have family that's standing with you no matter what's going on in life.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.